Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America. 98.7 The
And just like that, it is time for a fabulous, a fantastic, a feeling fine Friday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And yes, we have now officially launched the three-day party weekend. Woo-hoo. Let's celebrate, baby.
Woo-hoo. Just go outside.
It is going to be a good weekend.
Just go outside, baby.
We are planning to, we're going to go inside for a little bit tomorrow. We've been wanting to see the Superman movie, the Mad Turtle has, for quite a while. So I think tomorrow afternoon we are squeezing that into the schedule. Of course, tonight is the big hobby horse derby. Folks, you don't want to miss it. We'll be at the Alliance Church, West Whitehall Road. I keep forgetting. I think it's 1221 West Whitehall Road. We would love to see you there. Kiddos of all ages, and yep, that includes all adults, kiddos at heart. You can come on out, enjoy, participate, whatever you want to do. But we want to raise some money for the Jan and Marie Foundation and all of the programs they provide free of charge for our kiddos to promote and really help kids maintain good mental health practices and, again, know what to look for both in themselves and others, and to help adults know what to be looking for as well. A lot of good work being done. This is a fun fundraising opportunity. And, again, it'll be 5 to 8 tonight. We are also heading to Del Grosso's on Sunday. They're having their scout day at Del Grosso's on Sunday. So we've got, it's going to be a good weekend. We're going to take advantage of the good weather, albeit ducking inside during a nice afternoon, but we've really wanted to see the Superman movie and trying to get it scheduled, between baseball and rock climbing and work. It's like, maybe Saturday afternoon. So, we're squeezing that into the schedule tomorrow. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. If you wish to join the show, 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show today. Today, by the way, National Water Balloon Day.
Oh, really? What the heck is that?
Now, water balloons are fun. Dear Mad Turtle, listen up. It is also Respect for Parents Day.
Oh, yes.
Respect for Parents Day.
Yay.
Are you paying attention, dear kiddo? It is also Sandcastle Day. Probably a good day. Tomorrow. I have my weekend lined up here. Tomorrow is National Sandcastle Day, so get to your nearest beach. We like doing sandcastles out at Whipple Dam, so maybe we could head out there before or after our Superman adventure. Tomorrow is also National Play Outside Day. Well, that works out absolutely perfectly. With the weather we're going to have in this area. It is National Sunflower Day tomorrow. My wife loves sunflowers. Just absolutely loves them. Well, I do too. But
I've got
a
couple of fields out near where I live.
Yeah.
They look really great.
Yep. No, anyways, tomorrow National Sunflower Day. So we got all of that going for us as we head into the 3-day party weekend.
Of course, sunflower seeds. I like sunflower seeds. All right.
The kiddo has taken to the sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
Now, what is different from when I was a kiddo, at least my memory of being a kiddo, we had sunflower seeds. And they tasted like sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah.
That was all you had.
Okay.
Currently,
Oh.
They have the dill pickle sunflower seeds. Yeah. The Mad Turtle loves those. They have the Frank's hot sauce sunflower seeds. So they are doing battles now, he and his buddies, to see who can get the most hot sunflower seeds in their mouth and keep those sunflower seeds in their mouth for the longest period of time. There are like 10 to 12 different flavors. Again, when I was a kid, it was you had sunflower seeds. You could go and get sunflower seeds. Yeah. And there was one kind. There might have been a couple different companies, but it was they were sunflower seeds, just sunflower seeds. And you put them in your mouth, and they tasted like sunflower
seeds.
Yes,
they did, yeah.
Well, now you can get all kinds of flavors with your sunflower seeds. And depending on the year, the team, that it varies quite a bit as to the different flavors that are popular at a given time or the challenges that they like to create for themselves.
Well, one of our favorite sayings on the show, is it possible to go too far with something?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I like almonds. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Lightly salted almonds. Lightly salted.
Yeah.
All right? Just almonds. Well, now, of course, like you say, there's all these different ones. What is it? Korean barbecue almonds or something? Which, for a little while, I thought, hey, these aren't so bad. But now I'm like, I really don't like these. Can I just have regular almonds, please? And so I've stopped buying the, I don't know what it was, Korean barbecue something almonds. I'm like, no, this is too much. Lightly salted sunflower seeds. One of my favorite snacks, all right? And they're supposed to be healthy and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Okay, that's fine. Folks, we do have an open line program, by the way, as we do most Fridays to wrap up the week. Now, we don't normally get political this early in the show. But since, all right, Mr. Ironhead, if you're going to go do this, what, tomorrow? You're going to go see the Superman movie?
That's right.
All right. So on Monday, we expect a full, like, movie critic report for these folks that claim that the Superman movie is woke. All right. Now, again, folks, a lot of you throw out these terms whenever you hit something you don't agree with. All right. I don't agree. Oh, it's woke. Okay, really? I'll let you be the judge, and you can report back to us on Monday on what you thought about the movie.
I will happily do so.
Okay, so, and we're going to leave that. We'll save the other political stuff for later on, and oh, yes, we've got a few things, so there we go. All right, I swear, I almost put on a jacket this morning. I almost did it.
I tell you, last evening, I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
It is funny how
chilly.
Yes. But your mind kind of plays games with you, right? Because, like in March, if we get a day that's in the upper 50s, low 60s, I'm like, yeah, I'll crack the windows. It's like, yeah, this just feels, this feels good. Like we're getting there. It was 70.
Yeah.
71, according to my car, anyway. 71 outside. I'm like, oh, it's a little chilly.
Yeah, how about that? Of course, it was, what, 91 2 days ago.
True enough.
So, that you know, there it is. And it's interesting, at least at my house, I don't think we got a drop of rain yesterday. Not one drop. Now, some folks were not so fortunate, and this was pretty much the I-95 corridor from D.C. to Baltimore to Philadelphia to New York City through New Jersey. New Jersey got hammered with rain yesterday. I mean, one person lost their life, which is tragic. Really, they really got crushed with rain. Philadelphia area, southeastern part of Pennsylvania, down into Maryland. And I don't know, I've always been fascinated by weather. I am. We probably all are. But I remember when I was a kid, at one point, my parents got me a weather kit. All right. And it had an anemometer so I could measure the wind speed and a thermometer, of course, and something, a barometer and a couple other tools. And I would check it out every day and I would write it down in my little guidebook. Like, here's what happened.
It's a lot of monitors you have.
Yeah. I was fascinated by weather. So yesterday afternoon, I'm at home, and working away, and outside it's very gray. I'm thinking, okay, get started. Here we go. And nothing. And I pulled up, I've got several weather apps on my mobile device, so I pulled up the weather radar. And once again, how many times has this happened this year? The weather either goes north of us or the weather goes south of us. Now, yesterday, it actually did both. All right, north of us, it rained. It wasn't stormy or anything. It just sort of rained. South of us, it was stormy. And that was the stuff that was ended, you know, sort of ended over toward Harrisburg, Philadelphia. They got way more rain. We're in this corridor in between these two, and we got nothing. Now, some of you would be happy with that. My farmer friends, I know, were really thinking, come on, we could use some rain, come on. Because the next week is A, supposed to be great, and B, it's going to be dry. All right, and I'm still seeing the spiky cornfields out there. So, yeah, okay, let's go out and have a good time. We'll see when it rains again. That may be a good week off, or week away, that is. So, anyway, for weekend activities, absolutely great. Came across this. This is interesting. I assume this is accurate. On this day, in 1861, British naval officer Robert Fitzroy allegedly published the first known daily weather forecast. This was in the Times of London. That day, he predicted it was going to be 62 degrees and clear skies in London. And apparently, according to this report, that was largely accurate. That was the first published daily weather forecast, 1861. That's kind of interesting. We do that commonplace now. They didn't do it back then. This guy did. Apparently nailed it. Okay, very good. All right, again, busy weekend. You mentioned we got the Hobby Horse event. Once again, time, place?
5 to 8 o'clock at the Alliance Church in State College, which is 1221 West Whitehall Road.
All right. Up in Bellefonte today and tomorrow is the Arts and Crafts Fair.
Oh, yeah.
All right. 98.7 The Fox will be doing some periodic updates.
Yep.
Today and tomorrow, our guy A.J. Roberts will be doing that. And so the weather, perfect for the Bellefonte Arts and Crafts Fair. That's really awesome. So, you know, get out and have some fun this weekend. I think I'm going to take Domino for a walk today. Haven't done that in a while. Now,
good
when it's 92
it.
Degrees, I'm not doing that, okay?
Yep.
If it's 72 degrees, I'm there, okay? That works perfectly fine for me. Here's one that I'm still scratching my head. It's taken this long to do this. This came out yesterday. I'm like, really? I did not know this. Did you hear the announcement? For the first time ever in the 125 years of existence for this group, the Penn State Blue Band has a female drum major.
Yep.
What has taken so long? First of all, congratulations to Ellie Sheehan. Ellie is from Hollidaysburg. She is a senior. She plays piccolo in the band. And, you know, I don't know how they do. They have the tryouts and so on. And Ellie beat the guys. And she is the first female drum major in blue band history, which is great. Now, okay, if you've been to a football game, you've seen this on television, you know what the drum major does, okay? The band comes out on the field, the drum major runs out with that funky kick or funky run that they do, you know, kicking up their heels and so on, and then they do the flip. Now, I don't know, maybe girls haven't been able to do the flip until Ellie,
You got to do it with the big hat on.
And you got to do it,
keep that in mind.
You got to do it with that big, tall hat on, which I'd love to know how much that hat weighs. It looks like it's a really heavy hat. Big, tall, I don't know, furry, whatever hat. And so Ellie apparently nailed it, and she is going to be the first female drum major. So that's cool. Although, what's the date? August 30th. All right, the Penn State football game with Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's going to be watching when the blue band comes out on the field. And here comes the drum major, again, doing that strut or whatever you want to call it. And we're all going to be holding our breath because what's the deal? If the drum major nails the flip, Penn State's going to win. if somehow they, I don't know, stumble or something, it's like, ooh. Okay, folks, come on. The football team doesn't care. All right.
What?
They don't.
How dare you?
They really don't. All right.
How dare you?
They'll be perfectly fine. So everybody's going to be watching Ellie for that first flip. And then, of course, the band all comes out, da, 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 da. They play their tune. And then the drum major turns around, does that strut again in the other direction, does a second flip, which, as I recall, is in the direction of the student section. All right? And, you know, they do the flip. They're on the ground. They do the salute and so on. All right, Ellie, come on. Make us proud, girl. All right? We'll see how she does when the pressure's on, if you will. Okay? All right. Kiss Cam will not go away.
Oh, boy.
There's actually a website for this now. Have you checked this out? And it's kisscam.com. Kisscam.com. They actually have a website just for the Kiss Cam. All right, so you can check this out. I don't know if they have the Coldplay concert schedule, because this is pretty much their gig. Although, I mean, goodness, I've seen Kiss Cams at the Jordan Center. Beaver Stadium? Kiss Cam? Do they put Kiss Cam up on the big screen at Beaver Stadium? I don't recall ever seeing that.
Don't think so.
I've seen it at the Jordan Center for, like, you know, basketball games and stuff like that. I don't think I've seen it at the stadium. Maybe they should try doing that. Of course, if you're cheating on your spouse, hello, have you been paying attention the last couple of weeks? Don't do that, all right? Just don't do that. This is a story from the last couple of days. We may have to get a guest on this. All right, because we had a guest on this. Oh, my gosh. This was over a year ago, because we were back at our former studio across town, about parochial students having the opportunity to play sports at their local public school. There's a family from the State College area that kind of got this rolling because they had kids that are attending a parochial school. And their parochial school did not have, I can't even remember what the sport was, didn't have a certain sport or activity. And so they wanted to go to state college schools to say, well, okay, we're paying taxes to you, so we'd like our kids to, you know, take part in these activities. And at first the school district said, no, you don't attend here, so you can't come. And this got a bit of a dust up. Because I guess if you're a charter school student, now charter schools and public schools, if you will, are kind of connected. I mean, public school money goes to support charter school kids at their charter school and so on. It's not, to my knowledge, that's not the way it is with parochial schools. And so the school district kind of drew the line with parochial school students, these parents, along with an activist group, we had a guest from them, it was over a year ago now, kind of backed them up. This was like a lawyer group, and made their case, and State College finally said, okay, we'll relent, and they made an agreement and so on. Now, essentially, this same group is going to the PIAA to say, okay, PIAA, you need to be doing this across the state. Because, again, this earlier thing was just about State College. It wasn't about everywhere. Well, they got a win there, if you will. And apparently they've, according to, there's a couple of different stories out there. They've gone to the PIAA before, and according to the stories, the PIAA kind of gave them the cold shoulder. Well, now they've got a court win under their belt. And so now they're coming back to the PIAA saying, come on, all right, do we really need to go to court over this? I remember we had a guest, and I'm going to, it's in my records. I'll have to look this up. Maybe the guest will join us again sometime. So I recall it was a gentleman from Pittsburgh. And I remember at the time, and I'm torn on this one. Because on the one hand, I see the parents' perspective. Parochial schools simply cannot offer all the things that a public school can offer. They just can't. They don't got the money, especially smaller parochial schools. They don't got the, you know, they might have a handful of sports at their school. Meanwhile, the public school nearby has got a whole bunch of sports. All right. Well, gee, I want my kid to play sports. Well, they can't play it here because the parochial school doesn't offer the sport, but I'm paying taxes to the public school district. My kid should be able to go over here and play on that sports team. And okay, I can understand that. You flip the coin and it's like, well, parents, you chose to send your kid to the parochial school instead of our school. Why should we allow you to come in here and your kid can play on our sports teams when they don't even go to school here? I am still torn on this one. That I kind of see both sides of this argument. I don't know, Mr. Ironhead, do you remember the interview we did? It was over a year ago. I don't know if you have any kind of thought on this. State College, again, they settled, like, okay, we'll let you play. Now, obviously, it wouldn't be just for this kid, or I think it was a couple of kids. It would be for, now, anybody. You made a settlement, it's for anybody. As far as I know, this was only State College. I'm thinking about our other surrounding schools. I don't recall similar things like with Belfont or with Penns Valley and so on. This was primarily a State College thing, obviously, higher population, all that sort of stuff. But I'll be curious to see where this goes with this PIAA push now, because now they want to go statewide with this idea. I don't know, you have a thought on that or something?
Well, I do. I have a question about it, because do we know for sure? And I just haven't seen it spelled out. But if a sport is offered at the parochial school, do you still have the option of participating in that sport at either school?
No.
Or if it's offered at the parochial school,
if it's offered
you have
at the parochial
there.
School, you play there.
Okay.
All right. But the idea is, again, if it's a smaller parochial school, they can't begin to offer all the things that a public school can. They just can't. They don't have the money, the people, the space, you know, all that sort of thing. And so the idea is, all right, basketball. If your parochial school has a basketball team, that's where you're playing basketball. But, all right, football. You know, how many parochial schools have a football team? Well, unless you're a big, Pittsburgh Central Catholic or something like that. No, you're not going to have that. Well, hey, I'm a boy or whatever. I could be a girl. I want to play football. Well, my parochial school doesn't have that, but my public school does. Should I be allowed to send my kid, the parent, send my kid over here? This group is saying you should be able to do that. And I think part of the argument is, well, hey, I pay school taxes. So some of my money is going over there, all right? So my kid's going to parochial school, big deal. They don't have a football team. My kid wants to play football. They should be able to go over there to the public school and play football or soccer or, I don't know, volleyball or whatever, all that sort of stuff. Again, now this is going for a PIAA push. This is called I remember this group now, the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania. And so they're saying to and apparently they have come to the PIAA before, and the PIAA again has essentially said, go away. That's pretty much it. Now, folks, your gentle hosts here are not exactly gigantic PIAA fans.
No.
No, okay. Now, again, it would be interesting. I haven't heard anything lately about this push that there should be separate divisions for public schools and, I guess, everybody else. Parochial, private, whatever schools. Haven't heard any update on that lately. So might have to contact our friend Doug Dyke from Bald Eagle area, because he is big on this.
Yep.
Hey, Doug, is there an update on this thing? Or Scott Conklin, state representative, who's been talking about this down in Harrisburg. See if they're getting an update on that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're actually going to talk about sports. Oh, we have lots of stuff there. And then we'll have some open line time. Controversies, politics, groundhogs. Yes, groundhogs. Trust me on this one, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will come right back.
98.7 The Fox. It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon, this Friday and Saturday in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at belfontfair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
You've got to
feed the beast.
Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Fun? Join me and the Janamarie Foundation for the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. It's this Friday from 5 to 8 at the Alliance Church and State College. Kids of all ages, that includes you adult friends, are welcome to join this event. It is sure to bring a smile to your faces. You can see me in the one-eyed horse and you can even compete against us.
The Janamarie Foundation continues to do amazing work promoting the importance of good mental health for our youth and our community. You can get all of the info and sign up for the Hobby Horse Derby by going to JanamarieFoundation.org. Don't miss out on the fun at the Alliance Church and State College this Friday from 5 to 8 at 1221 West Whitehall Road. A special thanks to Happy Valley Adventure Bureau for its support.
That's the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. Post time starts at 5 p.m. Friday at the Alliance Church and State College. I really hope to see you there.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at belfontfair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning as we kick off the three-day party weekend, and we do it the only way we know how, in style. Just like
Sidney Sweeney in an American label.
Oh, let's not go. Let's save that for later.
Oh, no.
Later.
Fascist.
Later. Stop it.
Penn State men's basketball team will be taking on Pitt. Ooh. In the upcoming season. That game will be played on December 21st. It's roughly 4 days before Christmas. Right. I haven't checked. I think Christmas this year is going to be on the 25th is
calendar,
my understanding.
Says so, yeah.
That'll be at the Giant Center in Hershey. Not Christmas, this particular game on the 21st. It'll be the first meeting between the programs since 2017. That was a Penn State win, by the way, at the Legends Classic in Brooklyn. This will be the 149th all-time meeting between the basketball programs. Penn State currently holds a 76-72 edge over Pitt in that series. A tip-off time has not yet been announced, but the December 21st contest is the sixth confirmed game of the Nittany Lions non-conference schedule for the upcoming campaign. Penn State will have home games with Fairfield, Boston University, and Harvard, and an away game with Yale to go with a neutral site game against Providence. And now this neutral site game, again, against Pitt, December 21st at the Giant Center in Hershey. That should be fun. Penn State sophomore offensive lineman Cooper Cousins has been named to the All-State Werfel Trophy watch list. And redshirt senior wide receiver Trevor Pena has been named to the Paul Hornung Award watch list for the preseason. The Werfel Trophy, presented annually to the player who best combines exemplary community service with leadership achievement. Of course, Nick Dawkins, who is back for his final season of eligibility, has won that award previously for Penn State. The Paul Hornung Award is given annually by the Louisville Sports Commission to the most versatile player in major college football. Well, it was a confusing day for those of us that are Pirates fans, to say the least.
Orioles fans, yeah.
I, like most Pirates fans, I'm not sure I understand what they're doing or what they're even trying to do. There does not seem to be any clear direction here that the beloved Buccos are taking, and I think it's fair to say the fan base is more than a little frustrated with the current situation. Pirates yesterday traded closer David Bednar to the Yankees. And I'm thinking, well, that this is going to be good. Man, we're going to get, got to get at least a couple of players ready to go for next year. Maybe even three that can be, you know, potentially in that starting lineup. No. They get Rafael Flores, who is a promising catcher and first base prospect within the Yankees organization. Read a couple of different pieces yesterday. Experts think that Flores is probably major league ready, could be ready to go and be a contributor next year. They also get, at the same position, a lesser prospect, Edgleen Perez, from the Yankees, catcher, first baseman, and an outfielder prospect in Brian Sanchez. Both of those players a good ways away, if ever, from making the major leagues. The Pirates also traded left-hander Bailey Falter and to Kansas City. And the Royals send the Pirates left-handed pitcher Evan Sisk and first baseman Callan Moss. Sisk is 28 years old and has thrown 5 1/3 innings in Major League Baseball. The Pirates traded Taylor Rogers to the Cubs in a clear salary dump. knew you weren't going to get a whole lot in return, and they didn't. Outfielder Ivan Bredauer is who the Pirates get in exchange. Not a whole lot of promise there. What is especially confusing as a Pirates fan, again, the Bucks are clearly not going anywhere this year. They'll make the road trips, like they'll go places, but not playoff bound is what I'm getting at. And yet they hang on to their three rental players for the year, so they're going to pay those salaries and then lose these players at the end of the year and get absolutely nothing in return in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Tommy Pham, and Andrew Haney. And it is hard to see how these deals and non-deals are going to help the team compete next season, which clearly now has to be the goal because, again, you've only got a few more years of Paul Skenes. That is your opportunity. If you are the Pirates organization as a small market team, you got this little window here, and that window has now closed by 2 years. You basically have 3 years left to try to make some kind of a run, and they're not doing anything that leads you to believe they recognize the situation. Now, I mentioned yesterday on the Goon and Ironhead show, I am hoping against hope. I'm not optimistic. Don't really think that's what's going on. But I'm hoping that at the end of the day we'll be proven the Pirates are a lot cagier than we realized at the time. And they're getting some of these prospects together, and they're going to package some of these minor league prospects together, offer some good deals here in the off season, and get three or four really good position players, starters next year, and it's all going to come together. That would be the very optimistic hope, because otherwise what happened yesterday and the days preceding make zero sense in baseball competitive terms. It is beyond head scratching. On the off chance that Bob Nutting would be tuned in this morning, Bob, for the love of God, sell the team. Give us a chance to have some hope in Pittsburgh.
By getting out of the way.
Now, Ben Cherington probably is going to be gone here at the end of the season, if not before, the general manager. But again, Ben Cherington isn't the problem. The manager isn't the problem. The problem is they have god-awful ownership and absolutely no direction with that organization. And they are going to waste. It is becoming painfully, and I do mean painfully evident, they are going to waste the opportunity that a Paul Skenes presents for the organization and not take advantage of it in any way, shape, or form. Heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking.
I've got a thought or two, but do you have more stuff going on?
Yeah, a few other things. Phillies, meanwhile, they are in the thick of the race. Boy, both they and the Mets making some moves that clearly helped their teams. This is going to be interesting to see how things shake out here with the contending teams, including the Phillies and the Mets. Phillies picked up outfielder Harrison Bader in another trade with the Twins yesterday. The Phillies sending right-handed pitching prospect Jeremy Liloria and outfielder Henry Mendez to Minnesota in exchange. Bader right now batting .258 with 12 home runs and 38 RBI. He's a terrific defensive outfielder as well. Not entirely clear just yet. He's going to fit in there, but whether it's left, center, or right, it's going to be interesting to see, or whether they move guys around depending on the opposition on a given day. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But Phillies get another bat in there and get some outfield help, which they needed. And, of course, they get the big closer before the trade deadline. Meanwhile, the State College Spikes. picked up a much-needed victory over the Keys in Frederick yesterday, 6-1. The Spikes win it. Connor Higgs, the clear star of the game for State College. He put the Spikes ahead with a two-run single in the seventh and then basically put the game away with a monstrous two-run blast in the ninth inning. The home run in the ninth was a 436-foot shot. That is the longest home run in the MLB Draft League this season. And it left the ballpark at 107.5 miles an hour. That is the second hardest hit ball of the season for any Spikes player. The Spikes will now head to West Virginia. They'll open up a three-game weekend series this evening at 7 o'clock at the Kendrick Family Ballpark in West Virginia. And then the Spikes return home. They'll kick off a seven-game homestand on Sunday. It's a two-game series with West Virginia, tonight and tomorrow night, and then Spikes are home Sunday through, Yes, I wrote this wrong. I'm confusing myself. It is a three-game series with West Virginia. That's what I thought, and then I'm like, no, this can't be right.
I was wondering.
All right. It is a three-game series at West Virginia today through Sunday.
There you go.
Just got to follow along with the way I wrote this. I wrote it right. Spikes will open up their seven-game homestand on Monday. It will run through Sunday, August 10th, and you can enjoy all of the action at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park, again, starting Monday and running through next Sunday, August 10th. Penn State women's soccer team announcing its promotional schedule for the upcoming season and their themes for the 10 home games at Jeffrey Field. The Nittany Lions will open up the campaign against Duke. Ooh, their schedule is...
That'll be a good one.
Yes, is something. Penn State has been to the quarterfinals each of the last couple of years. Very promising season coming up, and seemingly, like with all Penn State sports, expectations are high for the women's soccer program. Penn State will have St. Louis visiting on Thursday, August 21st, and Penn State will kick off a four-match homestand on Sunday, August 24th. Again, you can get the complete list of all of the promotional events and the themes for the Penn State women's soccer team by checking out the website, gopsusports.com. But excited to see what that team can do. They return six starters from last year's squad. They have a recruiting class coming in that is rated as the fifth best in the country. And they have, again, a chance to be right in the thick of things when it comes to the hunt for a national title in the upcoming season. Again, it all gets underway Thursday, August 14th. Just around the corner.
Yeah,
Penn State
2 weeks, huh?
And Duke will square off in Durham, North Carolina. Could the Steelers, let's dream big for a moment, could Terry McLaurin be heading to the Steelers, the wide receiver for the Washington Commanders? Could they soon be the Redskins again? We'll see.
No.
McLaurin is demanding a trade, well, requesting a trade, I guess, at this point. He wants out of Washington. The Commanders / Redskins say they have no interest in trading McLaurin, but if they actually do start to, hey, maybe we need to look around, you would think the Steelers would at least be interested with their supposed all-in mentality for the upcoming season. So keep an eye. Nothing major shaking there yet, but maybe, possibly, somewhere down the stretch. Will Howard had his best practice as a Steeler yesterday. Some folks are excited about that. Made some really good throws against really good coverage, so that's promising. Eagles just rolling along, feeling like they're going to be right in the thick of things. Micah Parsons And the Dallas Cowboys are at odds in contract negotiations. And some Cowboys fans are starting to get a little nervous. Micah Parsons shared a post from analyst and content creator Jay Tuck that showed a picture of Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. It's a picture of those two with the caption, quote, "I'm prepared to burn this app down," unquote. Parsons quoted it with a GIF that read, "One last time." And folks are trying to, man, it's just a cryptic decipher message this, that we're at the end of the road here. My guess is still all of this will get worked out. They'll be on the field, but it is contentious for sure right now between Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that situation as well. And that's sports.
You got to decipher these social media messages.
Yes.
Then you get it. Then you go to the conspiracy theory land. It's like, whoa, stop right there. All right, let's take a break right here because we need to.
Yeah.
I got some sports thoughts. I'm going to try to make you feel better.
Okay, that would be wonderful.
I'm going to try to make
you
feel better.
I would enjoy that.
Pirates fan. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll talk some politics later on. I've got the next American Eagle promotional campaign. I've got it.
I like it.
It's genius. All right? And they will pay me residuals because I need the money. All right? And
centered around Adolf Hitler, I presume.
Let's move on. Let's take a break. All right? Well, we have open line time later on. If you'd like to chime in, tell me how much of a genius idea I have when we get to that part. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon, this Friday and Saturday in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at belfontfair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect load and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
looking for something a little different and really fun? Join me and the Janemarie Foundation for the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. It's this Friday from 5 to 8 at the Alliance Church and State College. Kids of all ages, that includes you, adult friends, are welcome to join this event. It is sure to bring a smile to your faces. You can see me in the one-eyed horse, and you can even compete against us.
The Janemarie Foundation continues to do amazing work promoting the importance of good mental health for our youth and our community. You can get all of the info and sign up for the Hobby Horse Derby by going to janemariefoundation.org. Don't miss out on the fun at the Alliance Church and State College this Friday from 5 to 8 at 1221 West Whitehall Road. A special thanks to Happy Valley Adventure Bureau for its support.
That's the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. Host time starts at 5 p.m. Friday at the Alliance Church and State College. I really hope to see you there.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's a feeling fine Friday edition of Let's Talk as we kick off the three-day party weekend. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
All right. Again, we'll save the political deep stuff for next hour. And we got some. Okay, we got some. Let's go back to sports. First off, there was an NFL game last night. It was the Hall of Fame game.
There was. I watched about 2 minutes of it.
Well, that's two minutes more than I watched. Keandre Lambert-Smith had a touchdown catch, former Nittany Lion, transferred to Auburn last year. That was cool. Chargers beat up on the Lions last night. Ooh. Okay.
Wonderful. Lions Super Bowl hopes are gone.
I don't think so.
No way that team can compete for a Super Bowl.
According to ESPN, all right, I've got the Steelers schedule here. Steelers' first game, by the way, is next Saturday. Yeah, all their preseason games are on Saturday? Hold on a second. Where'd you go? Saturday, Thursday. Okay, Thursday, August 21st, they have a preseason game. That's interesting. They got a preseason game on Saturday and then a Thursday game. We hate Thursday games.
We do.
It's like, what are they doing? But according to ESPN, and again, any more these days, point spreads, you know, all this stuff. According to them, 17 games in an NFL schedule, all right, the real games. At best, according to these folks, the Steelers are a favorite in 6 of those 17 games, which is kind of odd for a team all in going for the Super Bowl. Or am I missing something?
No.
And by favorites, we're not talking by much.
Yep.
Okay? It's like they're favorites in maybe 6 of the 17 games right now. Okay, yeah. Penn State, maybe I haven't been paying attention. Does every Penn State sports team now have theme games for, like, all their games?
Pretty much.
It's not just, hey, come out and enjoy the game.
No, there's usually some sort of promotional.
Like every volleyball match is going to have a theme or something?
Yep.
All of them?
Yep.
Is that new, or I've not been paying attention?
That's been around a little while.
I mean, not every, you know, they have, if it's a women's sport, they have a, you know, pink breast cancer game. Okay, I get it. I didn't know it was every game they have a theme. That's okay. I guess I'm paying attention. All right, that's fine. And as far as baseball's concerned, all right, I got to make my friend feel better. He's having a hard time.
Give it a shot.
All right, yesterday my Orioles pretty much unloaded all the guys they were expected to unload, which was like a grand total of, I don't know, six of them or something like that.
Pirates did not.
If I recall, your little guy is a big San Diego Padres fan.
Yeah, Padres are going all in.
That is
for sure.
They picked up two Orioles, two of them yesterday. So I don't know. I might have to become a Padres fan or something. 4 or 5 years ago, the Orioles were dreadful. They were terrible. It was almost embarrassing to be an Orioles fan like 4 or 5 years ago. They got some new management in. Okay, there's that. And they, of course, had lots of high draft picks because they were so terrible. And they made some very judicious draft choices and then really worked hard to develop those guys in the minors, hopefully not for too long. And these are Jackson Holliday, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. These are guys who've become young, big stars for the Orioles. They did a really good job of reworking the farm system to get back to prominence and then shock the world a couple years ago when they won 100 games. Now, they didn't do much in the playoffs, but they won 100 games. All right. It was like, whoa, where'd that come from? They really reworked the farm system. Now, the Orioles, again, just dealt a whole bunch of guys. And what do you get in return? You get draft picks. Or you get, no, I'm sorry, not draft picks. You get prospects. Okay. Now, are any of these prospects going to develop? Yeah, good question. Okay. Maybe not. If you're a buyer, okay, the Padres were buyers yesterday. The Mets were buyers yesterday. Cedric Mullins, I guess, is going to the Mets, which no surprise. Maybe the Mets was a surprise, but no surprise. They lost the guy. The buyer teams, of course, are not going to give up good guys to get other guys. They're going to give up minor leaguers, you know, all that sort of stuff, because they're desperate to get some bat or some arm that'll help them between now and October. All right, that's it. I mean, this isn't a long-term thing. They're looking for guys to help them out between now and October. Well, we'll see if that happens. But, I mean, the Orioles rebuilt things with high draft picks, because they were bad, and worked them. Now, no offense, my friend, the Pirates are bad, so they're going to have draft picks.
Awful.
I would assume, right? And so the key to success is getting, you know, when they have the draft, getting these top players, a Paul Skeens kind of level player, and then hopefully develop them. Now, Skeens, bam, right away, boom, straight to the majors, boom. That's actually very rare. You go to the minors, you know, maybe you start at double A or something, triple A, you move on up, and you work those guys. Now, I don't know the Pirates farm system. I assume you know at least a little bit. Is there hope down at the Pirates farm system? Again, Paul Skeens is a one-off. Bam, he went straight to the bigs. All right? I don't know, is the Pirates farm system, what's it like? Do you know?
Well, they have some promising. The issue is they're... They have they have an abundance of pitching within the organization, which is on paper, man, that's wonderful. That's pitching is kind of where it all starts in baseball. The theory is, man, you have good pitching, woo-hoo, look out. Well, the Pirates have like really good
pretty
pitching.
Good, yeah, yeah.
No, not pretty good. Really good pitching.
Okay, all right.
Their starting pitching is phenomenal. And they're getting Oviedo back, you know, Jared Jones if he's healthy. So they have, and yes, they have guys coming up. The problem with the Pirates is, again, we're talking about in small markets, you get these very small windows of opportunity. That window is now. It was this year, next year, the following year. Like, that's the window. Well, the window's that's great, building up your prospects and building for the future. But the problem is, by the time the future arrives for Pittsburgh, their opportunity, their window, it's gone. Paul Skeens will be pitching for the Yankees or the Dodgers or, you know, maybe even the Phillies, but one of the big market teams. And that window of opportunity, bye-bye, and the Pirates are blowing it. When you have the opportunity the Pirates have now, you need to capitalize on it. And they don't seem to have any awareness of that. And these the players they're getting, with one notable exception, like none of these guys are like, well, yeah, surefire in another 3 years, look out, this guy's going to take the majors by storm. I mean, very like most of these guys, most people are saying, maybe, possibly, he could make the majors at some point. Well, that's not...
That's not that, great.
That's not what you're trying to get. No. But, again, the generally speaking, that would be fine. Yep, you're struggling. You need to build for the future. It's a process. Trust the process. Work, it's going to be a gradual thing. No, the Pirate... They have their opportunity is now. They have starting pitching, big league... Big time starting pitching. They actually have, even with Bednar gone now, a very good bullpen, and they have crap around it in the field. Well, that is embarrassingly awful. And yeah, if you have prospects, and again, that was kind of the hope is, hey, let's trade some of these guys and get. Like the top prospects from some of these teams that you're training. They got, I think the catcher for the Yankees is, I think, the highest rated prospect they got from any of these teams, and he's like seventh best prospect in the Yankees system. Well, that's, you do not get opportunities like this as small market teams very often where you have a Paul Skeens and the complimentary staff around him and the Pirates are just going to completely waste it. It's embarrassing. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Not too shabby. How about you?
Heading to the golf course. Just turned on your show. Hey, Jeff, Scott, I had a friend the other day. We were talking about this MLB and the salary cap and everything. I truly believe, and so did my friend, a year off, if they wanted to, you know, fight this and we missed a whole year just to get it in, I think a lot of fans would be willing for that to happen just so teams like Pittsburgh might actually have a fighting chance. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the economics of baseball are awful for those of us in small market, that root for small market teams. But you do get those opportunities here, here and there, and, you know, and you're kind of seeing Kansas City as built. It's like, hey, we've got a shot here, and it feels like they're going to have a window here for a couple of years. It's just the Pirates, and again, I'm hoping against hope that what they're doing is, all right, we're getting these pieces together, and then we're going to package some of these prospects together, and we're going to make a real play for... Again, they need like three or four big bats, like big-time players. Not the superstars necessarily, but like really good everyday players. And I mean, that's the hope, is that somehow they're building up for what's going to be a spectacular offseason. But then you look at the history of Ben Cherington, you look at the history of Bob Nutting, and it's like, well, no, there's no reason to believe that any of that is at all what they're thinking. But that's my hope against hope.
Well, I guess that's why we need a salary cap with a minimum put in.
Yep.
So, you know, they need a minimum. So if we had to lose baseball for a year at the major league level, so the players would realize, oh, okay, yep, they're serious about this, and I'm missing my $40 million. And maybe they would realize that the people that are paying their salary – in these other cities are serious about wanting a chance to contend. Now, before I forget, and maybe lose you going up over Skytop.
Yep.
The red zone. Are you doing the red zone again this year on Friday?
We are doing the red zone. That is the plan.
3 weeks from tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. I got so much work going on right now. even year 32, baby, and it doesn't get any easier. So,
yes.
Listen, I appreciate you guys very much.
Real quick, Doug, while we have you, any update? Scott was asking earlier, any update any movement on the public school versus private school separating those out for the PIAA championships?
No, supposedly there was another thing in committee that was supposed to be gone to the floor and, you know, not through the education committee. I haven't heard anything more about it. And this whole thing about the state college lawsuit and opening it up for parochial kids to play at public schools, that's a whole other can of worms that, you know, will even muddy things up even more. So,
yes, a lot of logistical challenges there, to say the least.
Yeah, yeah.
But
listen, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's...
You want to identify who that was?
Oh, yeah, that was Doug Dyke.
Doug Dyke from Bald Eagle Area.
Okay. Bald Eagle Area. But, so one of the things... I'm torn a little bit. I hear what he's saying in terms of, hey, if there's a work stoppage in Major League Baseball, but the end result, and it results in a season being lost, if the end result is that we get a salary cap like the other professional leagues have, the problem is I'm not sure that the players, even the small market players, are also benefiting from this, because that if they have a good career in that opening contract, they are going to get substantially more money in the open market than they possibly could if there is a salary cap in place. And I'm not even sure if losing a season will drive that home enough for the players. Like, if you said, listen, it's a guarantee that there will be a salary cap in place, but you lose a season, I probably would sign up for that, even though it's going to be a season in that very small window that the Pirates are taking advantage of with Paul Skenes. If that was the result, again, because it does give at least, like in the NFL, there's at least the illusion that the Browns would have a chance or the Jets would have a chance in any given season. But, I mean, the NFL really is set up to make it so that all of the teams are basically 500 teams. And then it comes down to decisions from the front offices and how they put together their teams. Obviously, if you got to hit right with the quarterback, all of those things play into it. But it's not that the big market teams, the New York Jets aren't out there outspending the Green Bay Packers or any of those teams. They're all within the same ballpark of each other. Well, in baseball, I mean, the Dodgers are paying Shohei Ohtani more than the Pirates are paying their entire roster together, Paul Skenes included. Yeah. Well, that obviously, and then fans turn around and demand, well, you be competitive. Well, it is very difficult. But again, there is a way to do it for short windows. You're not going to be, 10 years out of 10 in these small markets. Not realistic to think that you're going to be competing with the quote-unquote big boys. But you do get these windows of opportunity, and the Pirates have that window now. And they're just completely wasting that window of opportunity. And when you're a small market team, you can't do that. You can't do that to your fans. When you have the window of opportunity, you have to seize it. You have to at least try to capitalize on, oh, all right, we could at least be a playoff team here. And they are not, not only are they not capitalizing, I mean, they're making zero effort toward that end. Like, it's not even that they're pretending, hey, let's try to get into the thick of it and take advantage of this amazing opportunity we have with Paul Skeens and the pitchers. They're just, they're completely throwing in the towel on it. And that is exceedingly frustrating for fans, because if you're not going to take advantage of this opportunity and you're just going to continue your losing ways throughout this run, well, then, I mean, once Skeens and company leave,
what do you got?
I mean, then we're back to 100 loss seasons being the norm, which, again, they may hit 100 losses with Skeens, which is astounding.
Astounding.
Not, and Skeens and, again, you have Mitch. I mean, this is a good starting pitching staff. I'm exhausted.
All right. All right. We got to take a break in a moment here. I mean, for the sellers yesterday, you're looking for that diamond in the rough. That guy in the minors, he makes a change of location, and all of a sudden, boom, everything comes together. Problem is, far more often than not, the diamond in the rough never shows up. Just doesn't. All right. Maybe my Orioles were a fluke. All right. They went from dreadful to 100 wins in 2 years.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. Maybe that was a fluke, and it was ahead of schedule. It was a total fluke.
For sure.
All right. Now, can the Pirates stumble into a fluke? Probably not. Sorry.
but not with what. Yeah. No.
You got to work your draft picks, work your farm system. And, see, the Orioles had a changeover in management, and these new guys came in, and they knew what the heck they were doing. Now, there it is.
Okay. Yeah, none of that is happening.
Sorry, I'm not sure what to tell you there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Donald Trump did something yesterday I agree with 100%.
Jeez, that's almost completely.
Completely. Now, which one? Well, we will inform you. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox and your calls when we come right back.
98.7 The Fox.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon, this Friday and Saturday in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BelfontFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Hey, Ian's doing. Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Ian's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer. Plus, 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect load loader, and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX 2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings Event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX 2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BelfontFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium in the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to
feed the beast.
Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7
The Fox State. The three-day party weekend is underway here with Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and you can join the show at 814-954-7266.
All right, let's save my genius marketing idea for American Eagle till a little later on.
All right.
I've got their next big promotion.
Genius.
This is a can't miss. Even with the controversy that shouldn't be, but let's hold that for a little later on, okay? All right, yesterday Donald Trump did something. I am in 100% agreement with this. Now, I can't say that with everything with me and Mr. Trump, all right?
No?
We have another tariff palooza going on, and every time he does this, in the back of my mind, I'm like, is it possible to go too far with something? So we'll see what occurs. Canada apparently is ticked off at us again. Mexico, whatever. Okay. So this is not about tariff palooza. Okay. If you follow news, you saw this yesterday. Trump, of course, Trump being Trump, he's in the White House, I guess the Oval Office, surrounded by people. He's got his big pen, and he's got this, I don't know, book or whatever you call this, where he puts his big signature down and so on, makes a big production out of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever, that's fine. But yesterday, he reinstated the presidential fitness test.
Yes.
Folks, this is something that should have never gone away.
We agree.
All right. Or we're in agreement with that.
Yep.
Okay. So first off, if you're not familiar with this, now, if you're old enough, you remember when we had the presidential fitness test. This actually goes back. Dwight Eisenhower started this back in 1956. And if you're old enough to remember, the presidential fitness test was when you're in high school. All right. You're in gym class. And there were targets or guidelines and so on with certain things. And the idea was to sort of I don't know, prove your fitness.
And
I guess.
If you didn't meet the threshold, they sent you to Alcatraz for a year, and you got eaten by alligators. Huh?
No, they didn't do that.
Oh, they did not
they
do that.
They did not do that.
Sorry,
okay.
I got ahead of the story.
But there were certain things. Well, let's see. What were they? Hold on. I have this here. All right. For those old enough to remember, and this would have to be before 2012.
Now, this is at a time where, after the presidential fitness test, we would go and drink, wait for it, whole milk.
Oh, my God.
At school, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Okay, we could morph into that one. But for folks old enough to remember, do you remember this from your school days? There was the mile run, and I've got a story about that. The mile run. Then you had to do either pull-ups or push-ups, and the idea was you just didn't do them. There was a number. You had to hit a target. All right? And it wasn't an outrageous target. You had to hit a target. You had to do so many. Sit-ups. You had to do sit-ups. All right? A certain number of sit-ups. The shuttle run. You kind of run back and forth. All right? And there's a certain distance and a time that you were supposed to hit. And what's called sit and reach. Something that was with stretching. You had to do some things with stretching. Okay. And this was a presidential thing. Those were like the main items, and there were targets that you were supposed to hit. And from my knowledge of way back in the day, and of course I'm a guy, so I was with boys, pretty much the boys, we hit them. All right. Now, some did better than others, obviously. That's just the nature of who we are. Okay. So here's my mile run story, and it's amazing what we remember from ages ago. All right, we're going to go back to 1981. I'm a senior in high school, and I remember the mile run day. I remember it like it was yesterday. And so I'm there in my gym class, you know, some buddies and so on. There were some guys that were athletes. And, I mean, they were athletes. I was, not much of an athlete. Okay, I just wasn't. But when it came to the mile run, I remember I'm a little worried, like, okay, am I going to be able to do this? I don't know. And so I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to win this race. Because, I mean, these guys over here are just better athletes than me. All right, they're going to win the race. I don't care. I just want to finish. And I want to finish by, I want to beat that target time. All right. I can't even remember what the target time was. But I remember we're on the track at the high school. You know, go. The guy didn't fire a gun or something, the gym teacher. And I took the strategy of being what's usually called the rabbit. So I went out and I kind of sprinted at the start of the race. This is a mile run. I sprinted to get out in front. So for the first, I don't know, couple of laps, I'm out in front. Meanwhile, the really good athlete guys, they're pacing themselves like somewhere behind me. And sure enough, over the course of the run, I started tiring. These guys, good athletes, they eventually caught up and they passed me, all right, which I knew was going to happen. And we get to the last lap, and I'm thinking, okay, come on, what's the time? I got to finish, got to finish. And I'm huffing and I'm puffing and I'm feeling tired and so on. But I get around the track, and I cross the finish line. And as I recall, I actually sort of sprinted a little bit to the finish line, and then I collapsed right down on the ground. But I'm the gym teacher's like, you did good. You did it. And I'm like, yes, all right, oh, no, I didn't win, all right? The good athlete guys were well out in front of me by the end of the race. In other words, they were standing at the finish line waiting for me to finish. And then there were other guys behind me, so I was kind of middle of the pack, all right? But it was a sense of accomplishment, like, okay, I did it. Wasn't sure I could, I did. And then there were these other, you know, the push-ups and sit-ups and other stuff. And then for some reason, about a dozen years ago, we got rid of this. Yes, that was during the Obama years. When, I'm reading here from a website, the presidential fitness test was discontinued primarily due to its competitive and public nature. I'm reading here, which often led to student humiliation and a lack of focus on individual fitness goals. Folks, that is wrong. That is inaccurate. All right, is there an occasional instance kind of here and there? Okay, yeah, maybe. All right. So the athlete guys I was describing, you know, were they standing at the finish line smirking at me when I finally? No. As I recall, they were kind of, you know, they gave me a pat on the back and so on, like, hey, you did it. Way to go. In other words, it was sort of a, like a team thing. Now, are there instances where somebody made fun of somebody else? I'm sure there were. But we got rid of this, these, you know, goals. Again, Michelle Obama. Okay. All right. Again, I'm going to make somebody really angry, and that's not my intention, but take a look back at 13 years ago. The I don't want to call it destruction. That's a too strong a term. But the damage she did with some of her well-meaning guidance, and she was the lead dog on this one, right? She was. All right, we're going to change the school lunch menus. Kids hated it. We're going to get rid of whole milk. Well, now we realize, okay, that was a mistake. Why the heck did we do that? And so the idea was they changed this thing in 2012 to the Youth Fitness Program. And again, I'm reading from an AP story here. The government said that moved away from recognizing athletic performance to providing a barometer on student health. No, we didn't. We watered down the standards is what we did. And for all these years, we've been complaining or concerned that, you know, high school kids or school kids are out of shape, they're overweight, because we watered down the standards in gym class for something that those were good goals to meet. Now, you know, did it turn me into a great athlete? No. Okay. I finished the mile run on time. Yay. And I did all the other things, you know, hitting whatever the target was. Okay, great. Wasn't a really high target. It's not something crazy. All right. I'm not going into the U.S. Marines or something like that. But it was good, I think, to have those targets there for kids to hit. And if you didn't hit them, you got another try. It's not like this was a one and done. All right, you got another try at it. But the idea was, come on, hit these goals. It's like any other class in school. You have grades, you have goals, you're supposed to hit them. But for some reason with these fitness tests, we watered them down for no, I'm going to say, no apparent reason. Oh, we're going to hurt a kid's feelings or something. Folks, that's not what I remember. Now, granted, 40 years ago, well, more than 40 years ago, but we've been watering things down over a number of years. I support Mr. Trump restarting this effort, and he was surrounded by, what, Lawrence Taylor was there yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau, the golfing pro, was there yesterday. He's like a spokesman, surrounded by other athlete people and so on. The idea that as a lot of our kids today are not in good shape. And maybe something simple as this can help turn that around and start moving in the right direction again. Why on earth did we get rid of this stuff, Mrs. Obama, 13 years ago? Why? Misguided science? Yes, let's make kids drink skim milk, which is essentially white water, not really healthy at all. There's nothing wrong with whole milk. Why did we change the school lunch menus to put a lot of bland food on kids' plates that, and believe me, folks, I used to work with schools, okay? I don't know how many stories of kids saying, I don't like this food. They went straight to the trash can. There it went. Poof. So much waste because the kids hated the food. And it's not like, oh, let's give them junk food. No, let's give them good, healthy food. But that's not what this was. Oh, we got to watch the calories. Oh, we got to watch the sodium. Oh, we got to watch this. And school lunch menus ended up with bland food that kids hated. And a lot more kids started packing lunches because, like, this food's terrible. I'm going to bring my own food in. And a lot of schools were like, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. I'm going to do that because that food sucks. I don't know, Mr. Ironhead. When I saw this yesterday, I actually applauded. Yay! Thank you. What do you think about all this? You're shaking your head.
Let's take a break here. We need to get a break. When we come back, yes, there's a couple of, I think, driving components
that I think many have misinterpreted in terms of just the nature of kids. We'll touch on this. I too think it's a good thing. And in even reading through some of the comments about concerns that people have with reinstituting it, and I haven't read a lot that's like just flat out, no, this shouldn't be done. It's more that, well, it can't be just this. And I would argue, well, it won't be just this. And we'll delve into that as we continue. Ironhead's Deep Thoughts. When we return.
Oh, this could be dangerous.
Oh, baby.
Oh, boy.
I'm digging deep today, as we usually do. It's Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfont Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfont, this Friday and Saturday in beautiful downtown Belfont, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BelfontFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Fun? Join me and the Jamboree Foundation for the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. It's this Friday from 5 to 8 at the Alliance Church and State College. Kids of all ages, that includes you adult friends, are welcome to join this event. It is sure to bring a smile to your faces. You can see me in the one-eyed horse and you can even compete against us.
The Jamboree Foundation continues to do amazing work promoting the importance of good mental health for our youth and our community. You can get all of the info and sign up for the Hobby Horse Derby by going to JanamarieFoundation.org. Don't miss out on the fun at the Alliance Church and State College this Friday from 5 to 8 at 1221 West Whitehall Road. A special thanks to Happy Valley Adventure Bureau for its support.
That's the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. Post time starts at 5 p.m. Friday at the Alliance Church and State College. I really hope to see you there.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect loader and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at belfontfair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's a feeling fine Friday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. When last we left you, we were talking about the presidential fitness test and the implications of it. And what was the, who was concerned about people getting humiliated and feeling awful about themselves? And
the people in charge of Washington about a dozen years ago.
Okay. So here, a few things about this. One is, competition is such an important part of our society and our success. And part of what happens with competition, very few folks will get through this planet, through their life on this planet, without having experienced some sort of devastating defeat. Whether it's in business, it's in school, you're like, man, I'm excited about this game, and oh, we got crushed. I'm excited about this class. Oh, I failed the class. Man, I think this business is going to take off. Well, nope, it completely fell apart. You talk to, I'm going to say, any successful person. I maybe there's an exception or two out there. I would say virtually, if not every, successful person, however you're defining success, you talk to them, hey, what led to your success? Every one of them, darn near everyone, if not every one of them, will tell you, well, part of it was, man, did I fail at this. And then I learned lessons from it, and it's like, oh, man, if I know now next time I need to do this. Whether it was the way you take notes and preparing for a test, whether it was the type of workouts you do for to get ready for an upcoming sports season, whether it was, you know, man, I needed to do a better job of studying dialects for the part in the play I had, whatever it is. Almost always, success follows some sort of a failure, some sort of a defeat, and learning from it. So even if we presume that there are people that are going to be humiliated at this, I would argue that might not be the worst thing in the world for a young person. That can be a wonderful motivator. I also think there is a lot to be said for personally challenging yourself. We've talked a good bit this week about the, you know, I think one of the worst things we are doing to young people is this idea that we've got to make things comfortable for them. Oh, we don't want them to have to work too hard. We don't want to have them hear things that they might not agree with. God, awful, awful stuff. No, challenge yourself. Hear from people that you completely disagree with. Read books from folks that, man, that person's a loon. All right, is there anything in there that you agree with? And even if not, okay, well, now you know that there's that thought, school of thought out there. And, man, I know I need to reaffirm my beliefs, my values. Whatever it is, that it is fine to challenge yourself. Well, yeah, but my kid's not athletic. Okay, there's a lot of kids that aren't what we'll call book smart. And it's like, yeah, it is a struggle to academically to get through school. It just doesn't come easily. Well, it's not because they're stupid, and it's not because these kids don't care about fitness, in some cases. It's, there actually are people that do really have metabolism problems. Now, can diet and exercise help all of that? Yep. Can studying help folks that struggle in school? Yep. But yeah, there are people that struggle in all areas of life. The competitive nature of human beings, and it's one of these things where we have parents every now and then, and with good intentions, like, listen, we're not focusing on the score, we're just going to go out there and play today, let's just run around on the soccer field. Inevitably, if you talk to the kids after those games, right, we're not keeping score, the kids will tell you, you know, we won. We scored 12 goals, yeah, they scored seven. Well, no, we weren't keeping score, Johnny. Well, no, I know you weren't, but we scored 12 and they scored seven. Kids, yes, they keep track. And if we're being honest about it as adults, right, we're doing the same thing. Oh, that person over there, they seem to be doing better. My neighbor, that's a nicer car. Some people that'll matter. It's like, man, I got to work harder. I want to get a nicer car. I got to figure out a different life. Others, it's like, I don't really care what kind of car. And that's fine. That's cool. That's what's wonderful about living in a free society. You get to pick. We all do. And we all should get to pick what's important to us. Fitness should have somewhere on your priority level, should have some presence. Again, it's not going to be the same for everybody. Some people, man, it's really important that I look good and fit, and that's cool. Not everybody has to be focused on that, but getting some good habits, trying to develop some good habits, and I think I haven't seen specifically, I'm assuming they're doing this the way we did it back in the day, which is they'll do a test early in the school year and then another one later in the school year. I'm assuming this isn't just a one-off each school year, although I don't know that for sure.
Don't know.
But when we did it, one of the things you would do, and again, just because it's human nature, is, well, what did I do in the fall? I'm going to beat that. Even if I'm not beating anybody else, I'm dead last in my class. If I did 12 sit-ups and that's all I could do, well, I want to do at least 13 in the next test. Well, that is good. Challenging yourself. The other thing is, if you don't want to be humiliated, just like with a test, prepare. You know when the presidential fitness test is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to completely embarrass myself. Well, maybe do a mile run. Again, you don't all have to be fitness experts, just like we're not all going to be straight-A students, just like we're not all going to be the star of the plays, we're not all going to be musical wonders, but we can try. We can get better at it. We can practice and improve, and when the concert comes around, not be embarrassing because we don't know that, well, no, just practice a little bit. Nobody's expecting you to be, you know, the star musical individual in your school, but yeah, we want you to do your best and study a little bit, practice a little bit. This idea that competition is somehow going to ruin people
is wrong.
Now it may give you a direction that, hey, you know what? I don't know that sports is really going to be
my thing.
Unfortunately, yeah. I loved sports. I recognized pretty early on in the high school career, up until then, I had aspirations. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm starting to think I might not actually make it to the
I'm
NFL.
Right there with you.
There's an outside chance.
Yeah.
So perhaps I could talk about it, and that's the route I went. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. Another big topic. I'll throw some memories in. My wife is teaching in inner city during the Obama years. And she had duty. They also had a breakfast. I guess breakfast was given to the students, too. I don't know if that was true across all schools. And I think the food that was served wasn't cool. So, like, you're right, most of it ended up in the garbage. But my wife is resourceful. She took a lot of it out of the garbage, the bananas and oranges in particular.
Okay.
And then kept that all on her desk, and kids came in and out of her room throughout the afternoon when they got hungry. And they would eat some of that fruit. But the other thing, I kind of align with Scott. We actually encouraged our... My school was, we had a co-ed, you know, public school, but gym class was separated.
Right.
And, yeah, unlike today, I was in a school, each class graduated about 1,000. Big school.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And our gym classes were up towards about 60, 80 guys in a gym class.
All right.
And I only remember one guy that was overweight. And we had this obstacle course in the winter. You know, we couldn't go outdoors. But, man, we were climbing the seating. You know, they used to fold up against the wall. And we had all the gymnastic equipment out. We had the ropes. And everybody got around this course except for this one fella. It was probably on to 300 pounds. But he hit the mount. You know, he did it. I mean, he got up. And he was running around the course, and he had a full head of steam, and he hit the balance beam, and he fell off. And with all that weight, he ended up doing some injury to himself. But we all applauded. And he had the biggest smile as he walked down to the nurse's station.
Well, yeah, there's something to be said, and, I guess, for
okay,
that.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So... And the other thing is, you have to remember, too, during the Obamas, I think because they're politicians, they basically don't offer us anything that we haven't already adopted into our lives. And at that time, they were getting rid of not just the physical fitness testing, but they were doing the 180. George Bush was running on the standards. And then they switched all around. They got rid of all the testing because they said the testing was too onerous and it took up too much time. Blah, and then the teachers were teaching to the testing and they really weren't learning anything.
Yep.
So it all kind of got folded in. But in some support, the culture had changed by then. As a kid in the 60s, hey, if I wanted to get somewhere, I had to get on a bike. And if I had to get to school, there was no bus, but, you know, I had to walk up the 2 miles to get to high school because you had to live more than 2 miles away to take the bus. That all shifted in the 80s. Suddenly there was a boogeyman behind every bush, and it was not safe for the kid to even walk one block to school. You had to take the bus. And I'm wondering if kids even stopped riding bicycles for the same reason. So I'm looking back on it. You know, gym class was, what, 2 hours a week? There's not a lot of room for conditioning. So I think it was just a cultural shift. The kids became, you know, we threw a net over them. We're trying to protect. Oh, I even remember when the playgrounds were unsafe because it was made out of steel. We had to go to... I think we went to a pressure treated wood at one time, and then that was declared unsafe. And then we swapped everything out to plastic, and now if it ends up in the oceans, that's unsafe. But I bet you can go in the center region, and you'd be lucky to find one kid utilizing any of these playgrounds that we have everywhere.
You know, one of the topics I have written down for this week that we haven't gotten to is and I'm not against it, so do not misunderstand, but this Whitehall park that opened.
And it is overdue.
Yep, and it is beautiful. Yeah, long, long time coming, all of that, and it is beautiful. I am wondering aloud, how many people are actually going to use, like, the cost-benefit analysis there, I think would be interesting, let's say, over the next 10 years. And we have some beautiful parks here, and there are some people we every now and then we'll go over to, like, Holmes Foster is fairly close to us, but it's not...
like, it's not a weekly occurrence. It's like maybe once a year. Some of them we might get to a couple of times a year. And our kiddo, by the way, loves parks, like loves the right. slides, loves, and, but it's just not something we get to. And like, I'm looking at this park and I'm like, oh, that is really cool. And then I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if we, with a 10-year-old that would clearly enjoy it, you know, the one out by the airport is, it's a wonderful park. We get out there. May at most twice a year. Yeah, usually probably once a year, and it's for a cleanup event. And then we'll hang around maybe a couple of times a year. We'll get out there one other time. I just wonder
when it becomes a logistics issue to get to a park.
Yeah,
I think that's the answer right there. So what was nice about the 50s and 60s and the 70s, you didn't have to go further than one or two blocks if you lived.
Yep.
In the city or suburbia, and you could find five or six guys. Let's do some pickup baseball, basketball. Let's just hang out at the park. And I think that's the deal. How far does your son have to go to hook up with a buddy just to go maybe play, what was that basketball game? Shoot Around the World or something. Just something to do while mom was cooking up dinner.
Yep.
But,
all right, we got to take a break.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No,
thanks for your call. All right. Yeah, we need to start pushing our kids again. Why did we allow ourselves to get away from that? It's not evil. It's not over competitive. It's people need that. They really do.
And kids are a lot smarter and a lot more resilient than we give them credit for in this regard. It's like, that's not my thing. I'll do it, but I know. And they're okay with that. Yes. Like 99% of them.
All right, take a break. We'll come back. We'll have about 2 minutes. All right, let's talk on 98.7 The Fox. Now, don't go anywhere. All right, we'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon, this Friday and Saturday in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at belfontfair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
Something a little different and really fun? Join me in the January Foundation for the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. It's this Friday from 5 to 8 at the Alliance Church and State College. Kids of all ages, that includes you adult friends, are welcome to join this event. It is sure to bring a smile to your faces. You can see me in the one-eyed horse, and you can even compete against us.
The Jana Marie Foundation continues to do amazing work promoting the importance of good mental health for our youth and our community. You can get all of the info and sign up for the Hobby Horse Derby by going to JanaMarieFoundation.org. Don't miss out on the fun at the Alliance Church and State College this Friday from 5 to 8 at 1221 West Whitehall Road. A special thanks to Happy Valley Adventure Bureau for its support.
That's the second annual Hobby Horse Derby. Post time starts at 5 p.m. Friday at the Alliance Church and State College. I really hope to see you there.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BelfontFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
A few minutes remaining on the big show this morning. It's Let's Talk, Jeff and Scott with you.
All right, we don't have time because we only got about, I think, 2 minutes or
yep.
So. I'm going to hold the next American Eagle jeans campaign. I've got it.
We're
going to hold it for Monday.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to hold it. You're going to love it. It's absolute genius. Okay. Also, at one point earlier in the show, I mentioned groundhogs.
Featuring me with Sydney Sweeney, isn't it? I had the same thought. We were on the same wavelength. We'll delve into it more in a month.
In your dreams.
Huh?
In your dreams, pal. Well,
I thought that just made perfect
sense. I'm not sure your wife would be too keen.
That's for an ad campaign.
Oh, sure it is. Okay.
Trying to help raise a little financial aid for the families.
Right,
what I'm trying to do.
So anyway, we'll save that for Monday, all right? We have guests coming back. By the way, we have two good guests already for next week.
One bad one. Ugh.
Well, no, that's not true.
No, that's not.
Our Spotlight PA friends had a recent series on elder abuse, which it's like, seriously, this is happening? We're going to talk with a reporter on that. And we're going to talk with the general manager of the Penn State Playfly NIL group. Now that will be a very interesting interview. She's the person in charge. And this was offered to us this week. I'm like, well, yeah. Now, we've certainly talked about that on here on the program. So we got some good shows lined up for you next week. But again, we just went off the track, 10, 12, whatever years ago. That we need to push kids. Think about this. Gen Z. All right? Gen Z, we hear about them a lot, right? That would be high school, college, people in their 20s. All the complaints about Gen Z. They don't stick with jobs. You got to hold their hand. They need constant support and all this sort of thing. Maybe all these anti-competitive things that we did all those years ago led to this. And that's not a good thing. All right, kids can run the mile. It's not that hard.
But hey, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.